proud to be from God's country.
Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
WIRI 105.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
More than half of American workers are dealing with a chronic health condition, yet many feel the need to keep it secret from their employer due to negative career effects. How can businesses better support workers' health management?
It can be stigmatizing to think that, you know, you're not going to be at work on time because you have a health condition that you're trying to manage and mostly can effectively manage.
Then, a fraction of U.S. cardiologists are women, yet many women prefer seeing female doctors. Can this lead to inadequate heart health care among women?
Women do feel more comfortable talking to women physicians, and especially when it's related to heart care. Unfortunately, there are not that many female cardiologists.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's show. InfoTrack comes your way right after this.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Joe Fallon's bedroom mini fridge. Sure, this pint-sized chiller's max capacity is 3 soda cans, but what it lacks in stature, it makes up in cooling strength. Each beverage, a perfect 37 degrees every time. And the 2 feet Joe walks to get a drink? Priceless. That's why his mini fridge is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
If you've been waiting to hear Macy's winter clearance, now's the time. Get everything you've been eyeing all season long at prices that are worth the wait. How good? Think 40 to 70% off coats, sweaters, boots, and more. Plus, come in and get an extra 20% off all your clearance purchases. That's up to 75% off. So if you've been waiting to treat yourself to something cute and cozy, hurry into Macy's now, because you're not the only one ready to score amazing winter deals. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Millions of U.S. workers are managing chronic health conditions, but most keep it a secret. A recent survey reveals how this silent struggle affects careers, well-being, and workplace culture. Here to discuss the findings is Brian C. Castrucci, Doctor of Public Health and President and CEO of the De Beaumont Foundation. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
The survey found that 58% of U.S. employees report having a chronic physical health condition. Were you surprised at how high that number is?
I'm not. We have known for a long time that Americans are struggling with chronic disease. I myself am a type 2 diabetic, so I understand the struggle of having a chronic disease when you're at work and having to get to different places and more doctor's appointments, and it can be hard to manage and often stigmatizing.
What are some of the most common chronic conditions that employees are dealing with at work?
Hypertension, diabetes, heart disease. There are so many chronic conditions that people can have. And the problem is, the way that we talk about health is we tend to blame the patient. It's one of the few places where we can blame someone who has a disease and somehow that's okay. You have diabetes because you didn't eat right or you didn't exercise, when it has a lot to do with our genetics and where we live and the environments that we're exposed to.
Despite needing accommodations, 60% of employees have not disclosed their conditions to their employer. Why do you think so many workers feel the need to keep the health struggles secret?
It can be stigmatizing, like so many things in our society. You don't want your employer to think that, you know, you're not going to be at work on time, or you're going to be out a lot, and maybe that means you don't get a promotion or you don't get a special project because you have a health condition that you're trying to manage and mostly can effectively manage. And so there's always that stigma, and that's something we have to really work on in our country, is not having stigma associated with chronic disease.
According to the research, about half of the employees with chronic conditions said they couldn't take time off or even take a break when they needed to. What would you say this says about workplace culture in the U.S.?
The U.S. is one of two industrialized countries that doesn't have a national standard for paid sick leave, the U.S. and South Korea. We should have time to manage our disease, to be sick when we're sick. I mean, our kind of culture where we romanticize and we treat people who come to work when they're sick as heroes. Like, they did that. They came to work even though they were sick. Well, they came to work when they were sick, and they probably got you sick and your kids sick. It's not heroic. And we need a culture that allows people to heal and manage their conditions, and so we can get the maximum impact out of every person. Because when any one of us can't be their optimal self, we all suffer.
The survey suggests that chronic health conditions affect career growth, with the employees missing out on projects, promotions, and even getting negative feedback. Is this something that employers can address and make better?
Absolutely. This is about any inclusive workplace. You want to have people be able to show up as their full selves and their best selves. As I said, I am a type 2 diabetic and I manage my disease, and it hasn't stood in the way of my career, and I'm fortunate because of that. But there are so many people who have neglected their care because they're trying to make that deadline, or they don't have paid sick leave, or there are employment policies that aren't conducive to someone, you know, treating and managing their disease. And that just shouldn't be. People should be allowed to treat their disease, to manage their disease, and still be amazing employees.
Now, there are those who help family members who have chronic conditions, and nearly half have to do this during working hours. How does this affect productivity and well-being?
The caregiver crisis in America is serious. We have many folks who are having to care for parents or elderly who can't manage their own medications, and you have to go and actually provide hands-on care. And not everyone can afford in-home nursing care or some of the things that allow others who maybe have more resources to manage these issues. And so a caring and compassionate workplace needs to be something that we think about so that everyone can really show up and be their best selves. I mean, no one comes to work every day and says, gee, I want to do a lousy job. We all want to do a great job, but some of us have to manage some other extraneous issues. And we should be able to do that and still be amazing workers. It doesn't mean that you can't be employee of the month. It just might look different. It's like just different shapes into the right slots. Not everyone has to fit, you know, into the round hole. Sometimes you have to change the holes so that different pegs can fit in them. But that's the way that we have a really diverse and thoughtful workforce, and those experiences can really help.
Our guest is Brian C. Castrucci, Doctor of Public Health and President and CEO of the de Beaumont Foundation. And we're talking about a recent survey of U.S. workers managing chronic health conditions and keeping it secret. Brian, the survey highlights that fewer than 4 in 10 employees feel their employer supports flexible work arrangements. What are the benefits to a business or company to offer more flexibility?
Well, when you realize that almost 6 in 10 people have a chronic illness, there's a need for the workplace to be thoughtful and accommodating for those folks, because to leave out that many people from your pool from whom you can hire, that's a lot of folks. That's a lot of talent. And so you want to be able to maximize that talent and meet your staff where they are. We're not working on an assembly line. We're not given the same structures that we once had. We can be flexible. We can give people some time away. It's even just like, you know, back in the past, you would have teachers who weren't allowed to teach when they were pregnant, or women who weren't allowed to breastfeed. We've made those accommodations. We need to make those accommodations for people who are chronically ill, just as we've evolved with women and pregnancy.
Brian, given the findings of this survey, what steps would you suggest policymakers need to take to improve workplace conditions for employees with chronic illness?
The number one thing that every employee should have access to is paid sick leave. When you look at the pandemic, people who didn't have paid sick leave came to work and could have possibly infected others, not because they didn't care, but because they were trying to keep their kids fed or a roof over their head. And that's what we made people pick between. Do I want to go to work and possibly get you sick? Or do I want to stay at home and possibly have my kids not fed? Let me tell you, if I was making that choice, I'm picking my kids every time. But we, like every other industrialized nation, should have standards for paid sick leave. Some states have increased and required paid sick leave. Some counties, some cities have. We need a national standard for paid sick leave. We had it for a brief moment during COVID, and we should really think about how it can improve the economy of America by making sure that people can show up as their best selves and not when they are sick and should be at home, causing other people to get sick as well.
So that would be a top-down type solution. Are there ways that employees can advocate for better accommodations and support in their workplace?
I think it's talking to HR. It's actually thinking about, you know, we do a lot. Companies invest so much money in workplace wellness, the yoga programs, the various things that we do inside the workplace. But here's the reality of it. 80% of a company's healthcare costs come from kids, spouses and retirees, and they don't get that workplace wellness program. So what we really need to focus on is that the new workplace wellness is community health. And it's advocating for really strong policies in a community so that everyone can achieve their optimal health. That's good business. Good health is good business. And we all need to learn that, because health is an economic indicator. And when our workforce is healthy, then we can have a strong economy. If our workforce is not healthy, then our economy is in peril.
Brian C. Castrucci, Doctor of Public Health and President and CEO of the de Beaumont Foundation. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Next, are women getting adequate heart health care? That story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Is that a new Samsung Galaxy A15 5G?
Yeah, I got it for free when I joined Cricket Nation.
Sounds pretty great.
At Cricket, anyone can get a new phone when they switch.
Whoa.
With a high-quality camera, meaning more flattering selfies for all. And super fast 5G, so you can post them for all to see. Your friends, your family, your ex. Free phone! Free phone!
Okay, I'll switch.
Welcome to Cricket Nation.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must bring your number to Cricket on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Sky Rizzi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Sky Rizzi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Many women prefer seeing a female cardiologist, but have a hard time finding one. How can women take control of their heart health? With the details, here's InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Jane Lombard, Medical Director of the Women's Heart Center at El Camino Health in California. El Camino is now out with a survey showing 6 in 10 women feel that female doctors can better relate to their experiences, concerns, and symptoms. And that has big implications when it comes to heart care. Dr. Lombard, tell us about the percentage of women doctors who specialize in cardiovascular care and how that compares to the prevalence of heart disease deaths among women.
Well, heart disease is still the number one killer in women, also in men. So greater than 50% of deaths are going to be women. And I think women do feel more comfortable talking to women physicians, and especially when it's related to heart care. Unfortunately, there are not that many female cardiologists in the community. That's because historically, cardiology has been sort of male-dominated. We're making a change, but it's going to take many years, if not decades, to correct that. Partially because the hours are not great. You have a lot of call, and when you get called in, it's usually not for very unhealthy, maybe trying to die people. And the other thing is the training programs are very long, so it takes 9 to 12 years after university to get established as a cardiologist. And so you're talking about, you know, people in their early to mid-30s when they start a practice.
And I wanted to ask you about the National Institutes of Health reporting that cardiovascular disease affects 47% of African-American women, who also have the highest rates of hypertension, stroke, etc. So when we look at the whole picture, the African-American experience, and the disparate situation where you have heart disease deaths among women being number one, and only about 16% of cardiologists are women, could you characterize how serious a situation that is?
It's very bad, of course. The problem with, like, not just African Americans, but for a lot of minorities, access to care is an issue. They're in less affluent neighborhoods. And, you know, we've tried to get more people into professional schools and get more doctors, but it's still a long haul. And hate to say it, but the current atmosphere doesn't promote that. And worse yet is, I think, the maternal mortality, the death rate of expecting mothers in the United States is the highest in the developed world. and a lot of them are African American.
And let's talk about that, because you say pregnancy is the ultimate stress test for women's hearts. How so?
Well, just imagine if I were to pump up 5 liters of fluid into you and expect your heart to take care of things. That's a huge stress test. And that's what happens when women get pregnant. Our volume goes up intravascular. That is, the blood it's circulating in your system goes up by 40-50%. And if your heart can't handle it, you go into heart failure. At the same time, your hormones all get ramped up. So your body has a hemodynamic challenge as well as an endocrine challenge, all the hormones. Besides having something grow in you, pregnancy, I think, is truly amazing because there's a foreign body in the mother, and yet the mother does not reject the fetus, and the fetus grows, and both hopefully stay alive. Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. We're visiting with Dr. Jane Lombard, medical director of the Women's Heart Center at El Camino Health in California. Doctor, again, about pregnancy, you say women are often unaware of potentially deadly issues that develop during and after pregnancy. List one or two of these.
We know that women who have preeclampsia, that is high blood pressure and sometimes dangerously high blood pressure during pregnancy, are more likely to develop hypertension early on. They are also more likely to develop heart disease early on. Same with diabetes and any complication with a pregnancy, such as miscarriages, premature births, small for gestational age, all kind of indicate there's a problem with the placenta. And remember, the placenta is a giant vascular organ that interfaces between the fetus and the mother and is sort of a harbinger of maybe future problems. And I don't think most people, patients and physicians, are aware of that. So now there's a whole category of risk factors called APOs, or adverse pregnancy outcomes. And always ask the patient, like, you know, did you have any issues with the pregnancy or with the children? But most people don't realize that that could be a signal that they will have further complications later on.
Now, among women in general, do they do better when they have a woman doctor providing care for heart issues?
Well, most of the patients I know personally would say that they feel like they're more included in decision making. They're heard more. It's really interesting because I was listening to a program this morning and they were talking about men's health. And they say, well, you know, more men are actually coming in. Men would like to be told, this is your problem. This is what you want to do. And I think most of the women, myself included, I said, why do I have this problem? And do I have any other options? And that generates a sort of combined decision making. You're having a discourse with a patient. And a lot of times there's not only one way to do something. So I think that women feel more comfortable when they're engaged in the decision making.
And you talk about there's more than one way to do something, and that unfortunately includes having a heart attack. Tell us in general the signs that women in particular might experience if they're having a heart attack.
A lot of times it's hard to segregate out. Is it really different? Are they just mitigating the symptoms? A lot of women will have some chest discomfort. They say, oh, I don't really have pain. I just feel like I had a lump or, you know, maybe mild pressure. A lot of times I have people say, I thought I was having indigestion. I just had this terrible heartburn. A lot of women would tell me they get super short of breath and diffuse sweating. So the symptoms are similar, but they are just sort of like in different doses. So a woman would usually tell me that the pain wasn't as bad as like the sweating and the fatigue and the shortness of breath. Whereas a man is more, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, I had this pressure, this classic symptom.
The elephant on the chest.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. What can women and their doctors do to be proactive in finding heart conditions that need treatment and fast?
I think that number one, to start off with, everybody should practice more prevention. So we should never smoke. There's nothing good to come without smoking. We should all eat a plant-based diet. So more plants and less animal protein, definitely less carbohydrate and sugars. Not drink, except in very moderation. Exercise and try to maintain ideal body size. I don't want to use weight because I think that you can be very skinny but very out of shape. But you should exercise and you should do lifestyle management. And then you should always have your blood pressure checked. You should always have your cholesterol checked, especially if you have a family history. And you should be cognizant of your symptoms. And I've done a lot of outreach, and a lot of it is just, you know, educate people about symptoms. And, you know, the thing about, I just talked to a patient a few minutes ago, if you exercise every day, that's like doing a treadmill test every day versus going to see the doctor once a year. And the doctor say, oh, I think you should have a treadmill test. But if you do exercise every day and notice like, oh, that hill's a little harder and I'm a little short of breath. The key point is like, how do you know your car's working, driving?
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. Dr. Jane Lombard at El Camino Health in California. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback. All on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile, you're on Cricket.
Requires new account and ported on $60 plan. First service charge, tax to its sale. $25 activation fee, terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
Are you ready for a digital detox? Unplugging can help reclaim your attention and boost your happiness. InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Adrian Ward, Associate Professor of Marketing at the McComb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin. Professor, you recently led a study that found that blocking mobile internet improved mental health, well-being, and attention spans. Tell us a bit about this study.
Thanks for having me. And first, also, I need to mention that this is part of a big interdisciplinary group. We had psychologists and neuroscientists and consumer behavior researchers like myself. And we were really interested in the effects of constantly being connected to everything all the time, right? We all walk around with smartphones in our pockets and we can access email and cat videos and social media at the tip of our fingers. Is it something that's really good for us? So in order to answer that question, we recruited about 500 participants and we did a month-long randomized control trial, which is sort of the gold standard for understanding cause and effect. And we had people block mobile internet for 2 weeks during that month and just tracked psychological functioning over the month to see how it differed when they had access to the internet versus after this 2 week block.
And what did you find?
Well, we found a couple interesting things. We were really interested in these outcome measures about psychological functioning. So things like mental health, things like depression, subjective well-being, which is just how happy you feel on any given day. And then also objective sustained attentional functioning. So how long can you pay attention to something for one time? So those were our things that we were really interested in. And we found that that 2 week block improved outcomes on all of those. So people had better mental health. They reported just feeling happier throughout the day. And they actually were better able to sustain their attention on different tasks. We also found that it changed how people spent their time. So for example, people, when they didn't have access to mobile internet all the time, spent more time in the offline world, more time socializing, going outdoors, doing hobbies. They spent more time sleeping and they felt more socially connected to other people and more in control of their own attention. And so all these differences in how people spent their time, we think are what's responsible for these differences in mental health and attention, is that when we don't have constant access to the internet all the time, we do different things, and we do those different things, on average, they actually are good for our psychological functioning.
I understand that in the group of people you gathered for this study, only 57% of the participants actually followed through with installing the app, and only a quarter completed 2 weeks offline. What does that say about our attachment to smartphones?
I think this is such a critical point. We recruited people who thought that they used their phones too much and that they'd like to use them less. By the way, most people say that they think they use their phones too much and they'd like to use them less. However, we keep using them all the time. And I think we see in our study evidence of that as well. We were paying people to keep mobile internet blocked. They said they wanted to keep it blocked, yet people had a really hard time keeping that block for that 2-week period. We did find that just attempting to cut back, attempting to block, even if people weren't successful for the whole 2 weeks, was positive for these outcomes, but not as positive as keeping the block active the whole time. And what I think it tells us is that both as individuals and as a society, we're so dependent on our phones. It's such an instinctive part of our daily lives. We rely on them for work and for school and just for mindless scrolling whenever we find ourselves bored. And it's really hard to turn off these behaviors that are reinforced both by our own psychology and by our social reliance on these devices.
And as you mentioned, as much as we do rely on these phones for all kinds of things in our life, work and navigation and just daily tasks, keeping our calendars, do you think a total internet block is realistic long term, or what are the alternative strategies that maybe might have similar benefits?
No, I don't think that a total internet block is realistic for most people today. However, that doesn't mean that we have to go forth in a society where we're expecting, you know, our colleagues to be on email every hour of every day, right? And so we might be able to reset some of these social expectations to give people a little more freedom to disconnect. But you also ask, well, what can we do today? And I think that insight that even the people who weren't successful at keeping this block for the full 2 weeks benefited is helpful. It seems like the more that we can encourage ourselves to disconnect, to take some time away from the online world and go do other stuff, spend time in the offline world, connect to the people close to us, maybe even just get a little more sleep, then on average, that should be better for our well-being.
I spoke with someone a week or so ago who said that she does this every Sunday, where she basically disconnects for the entire day. That sounds like maybe a good start.
I agree. Everybody's going to find their own place to start. For me, I started when I was taking evening walks with my partner. And so that was an hour every day where I knew I wasn't going to have my phone. You could do a day a week, you know, whatever fits into your schedule. And then I think the other critical part is check in with yourself. See how it feels. And if it feels better, remember that the next time you're instinctively reaching for your phone.
Adrian Ward, Associate Professor of Marketing at the McComb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That's it for another edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Fools are kind of blind. Thought everything was going all right, but I was running out of time. 'Cause you had one foot out the door, I swear I didn't see. But if you're really going away, here's some final words from me. Baby, write this down. Take a little note to remind you in case you didn't know. Tell yourself I love you and I don't want you to go. Write this down. Take my words and read them every day. Keep them close by, don't you let them fade away. So you'll remember what I forgot to say. Write this down. Of the page, I swear under oath, 'cause every single word is true, and I think you need to know. So use it as a bookmark, stick it on your refrigerator door, hang it in a picture frame up above the mantle where you'll see it for sure. Baby, write this down. Take a little note to remind you in case you didn't know. Tell yourself I love you and I don't want you to go. Write this down. Take my words and read them every day. Keep them
close by, don't you let them fade away. So you'll remember what I forgot to say. Write this down. You can find a chisel, I can find a stone. Folks will be reading these words long after we're gone. Baby, yourself, I love you and I don't want you to go. Write this down. Take my words and read them every day. Keep them close by, don't you let them fade away. So you'll remember what I forgot to say. Write this down. Oh, I love you and I don't want you to go. Baby, write this down.
Means a button-down shirt and a good pair of jeans. Wasn't Sunday supper without collard greens. Dad was boss, Christ is king. Friday night was living for them lights to come on. Then I turned to Miller Lights when I turned 21. There's some things about me that I can't change. I'll always be the man that to her windows down, singing every word of that George Strait mixtape that was homemade.
It's where I dream.
first beer. It's where I found Jesus, where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces. I learned the path to heaven is full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I learned, I've come to know, there's life at both ends of that red dirt road. Her daddy didn't like me much in my shackled up GTO. I'd sneak out in the middle of the night, throw rocks at her bedroom window. We'd turn out the headlights, drive by the moonlight, talk about what the future might hold down that red dirt road. It's where I drank my first beer.
Somebody's about to walk through the door. Yeah, I bet he's got a real good excuse, but right now I wouldn't want to be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose, sitting all alone tonight. Look, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tank. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's MIA. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. Judging by the way you just smile, I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know. He let you down, but he's the upside. I can give you move on somewhere to go. I ain't trying to change that miss to a missus, but he don't know what he's missing, girl, listen. I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to my
like he didn't buy. I'm here and he's MIA. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he sure as hell ain't. He sure as hell ain't. He sure as hell ain't. Yeah, I bet he's got a real good excuse. But right now I wouldn't want to be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose. Sitting all alone tonight. Look, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home, I'm a mama type. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's MIA. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he sure as hell ain't. He sure as hell ain't.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, mostly sunny skies and a light southwest breeze today, highs reaching the upper 30s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, the low near 20. Monday, partly sunny. There will be a chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise the high reaching the upper 40s. Right now, it's 4.
There are people in this country work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay. And it's time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Detroit auto worker. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. Hello, Pittsburgh steel mill worker. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who swings the hammer, driving home the nail. For the one behind the counter, ringing up the sales. For the one who fights the fires, the one who brings the mail, for everyone who works behind the scenes. You can see them every morning in the factories and the fields, in the city streets and the quiet country towns. Working together like spokes inside a wheel, they keep this country turning around. Hello, Kansas, wheatfield farmer. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rig up and down the road. For the one out in the warehouse bringing in the load. For the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol. For everyone who works behind the scenes with a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America. Let me thank you for your
time. He'd take Colorado if he'd take her with him.
Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in, and wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. At a truck stop diner just outside of Lincoln, the night as black as the coffee he was drinking. And in the waitress' eyes he sees the same old light is shining, and thinks of Colorado and the girl he left behind him. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Born for leaving. Well, it's a winding road when you're in the lost and found. You're a lover, I'm a runner, and we go round and round. And I love you, but I leave you. I don't want you, but I need you. You know it's you that calls me back. When I close my eyes, I see you. No matter where I am, I can smell your perfume through these whispering pines. I'm with your ghost again. It's a shame about the weather, but I know soon we'll be together, and I can't wait till then. I can't wait till then.
Mississippi mud, she always had a thing about falling in love with a bad boy. Yeah, they could see it all coming, but her daddy never dreamed she'd grow up that fast. You know what I mean, the way a girl gets when she turns 17. Kinda crazy. She's a clever
couldn't stop her. She holds tight me and the Bible on the back seat of my motorcycle. Left your daddy standing there preaching to the choir, you see. Gotta love her. Said I'll be sure and phone you. She called her from a truck stop in Tucson, Arizona, with amazing grace. We made California live. And then my gypsy life started taking its toll, and the fast lane got empty and out of control. And just like an angel, she saved my soul from the devil. Is he there? Rebel child and a preacher's daughter, she was baptized in dirty water. Mama cried the first time they caught her with me. They knew they couldn't stop her. She holds tight me and the Bible on the back seat of my motorcycle. Left her daddy standing there preaching to the choir, you see. Gotta love her.
WIRI Nakusa. The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7. WIRI.